always seeking the challenge, always pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. If you don't feel comfortable with a certain software, if you don't feel comfortable talking to people, if you don't feel comfortable presenting to people, now it's your time to do it.
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am so excited to be in Wilmington, North Carolina, and okay, you guys, this company that I've been hearing about since I entered into Wilmington, I heard about this random bank that is like taking over the world, delivering the most extraordinary customer experience, all about being digital. They're the branchless bank. And supposedly, and I'll get more into, I'll find out the facts. Supposedly, this bank was like, we're going to focus on a really niche category. We're going to be the best bank possible to this category. And by doing that, we will just become a really dominant brand. And in a certain category, apparently they like overtook or were on par with Bank of America or like, I don't know. And so Chrissy Ann is going to fill in all the details for me. She already gave me a tour of Live Oak Bank, and I can't wait to dive in, share the culture. I'm just talking too much. Chrissy Ann, go.
So the bank was started in 2008. It started with a group of guys that had, you know, years and years of banking experience, and they started it focused on strictly lending SBA dollars to veterinarians.
Right.
So once they had conquered that market, I mean, after doing it so well for a couple of years, they started getting into different niche industries. So being a niche lender, we were, you know, considered the doggy bank. They hired people that were industry experts in the next vertical, which was pharmacy. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, we branched onto healthcare, which was the dental and medical space. Then we went into funeral directors. I mean, we just started to find out where there was a lack of financing for these folks, mm-hmm. and figured out a way to, you know, get in front of them using the SBA really as the tool it was meant for, which is giving money to people that really can't find it anywhere else.
And what does SBA stand for?
The Small Business Administration.
Okay.
So it's a government program. And it actually, the great thing is that, you know, conventional dollars can be extremely competitive. That's your Wells Fargo, your Bank of America. The rates seem to be a little bit more competitive. But these people that are either a startup or, you know, depending upon their story, you know, their credit might sit in a different credit box at a conventional
right.
lender. Here, we listen to everybody's story.
Right.
So it's a much more personal connection with the borrower.
Right.
And that is, I think, what sets us apart and had set us apart in the beginning. And the, you know, CEO and the guys that sat in the garage and filled out the FDIC papers to make us a real bank.
Right.
We're like, we've got something really, really cool here.
Yeah.
And it's just really, it's ramped up rapidly.
Yeah.
But we have done some incredible things and meaningful things in each of the industries
yeah.
that we've delved into, really. So
let's get into it. But first, can you formally introduce yourself to everybody listening?
Yeah, I'm Chrissy Ann Jackson. I'm the digital marketing manager at Live Oak Bank, a New York native living in the South.
It's gorgeous here.
Yeah.
I love it.
I wouldn't go back, I don't think.
You guys, this property in itself, like, I wish I could show you. It's like, you feel like you're living on like your own personal log cabin by the water with
yeah.
the woods around you and your dogs playing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it is the most inviting, comfortable corporate atmosphere. I mean, it's not corporate. Like, so it's a corporate company that is not corporate. It's
yes,
weird.
The anti-corporate culture.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the more important things that is recognized here that is, you know, really top down is
yeah.
that if you take care of your employees, they will do incredible things, and it permeates throughout this place. I mean, we are given amenities that are really helpful to our everyday lives. You know, we get to bring our dogs to work and there's a gym here, but those things being here to help us, I mean, it encourages everybody to not only have like the utmost respect for this place, but we spend so much time and effort in making this place successful. And it's always a joint effort. Not mm-hmm. one single person is above another.
Right.
It's one of the most amazing places to work, really.
It really feels that way. One, I mean, your culture blows me away. You care about the culture so much that you decided to integrate your culture into the physical architecture and design of your properties.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Let's get into that.
Yeah. So, yeah, the when they were building the first building on Live Oak's campus, they were coming from your regular like rental office space. And we were growing, so we needed plenty of space. We had, you know, to put people in a place that they felt comfortable. And when you're starting to get into that design thinking concept, right, when you're building from scratch,
right,
we started thinking about like, what are the brand attributes of Live Oak Bank? What do we consider ourselves? What is tried and true of who we are? Mm-hmm. So, you know, transparency. So there's lots of glass. Obviously our name's Live Oak. So there's lots of wood,
yeah,
all different kinds of wood, but they, you know, it's everything sustainable. The trees that we chopped down are being used. They're used for art decor in the hallways. And, you know, we made sure that everything was done to a level that was helpful for actually the environment and also for the people that sit in here. This place is always, you know, very clear and bright,
right,
and you know, you have really beautiful views. We're kind of tucked away,
right,
from everything. So don't really see anything but these two buildings and the lake. And I mean, to sit there and have that kind of view, you can't really beat it.
Totally.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about being here because you really are the indie bank making it big.
Yeah.
Like really taking on the big guys. And so can you give everybody kind of like walk through just so they could kind of get on the same page that I'm on? What does that look like? So you started with a veterinarian office, like, you know, Joe Bob or whatever. Like, can you walk us through like the what it looks like?
So, and you know, in the veterinary space, when people are acquiring a business, expanding a business, they need working capital, they need money to, you know, hire more employees, get supplies, mm-hmm, equipment, all these things, right? They, you know, instead of going in and diving into the cash in your pocket, or if you even have that,
right,
you have to go out looking for financing. So some of these people, you know, will be turned down from the bigger banks and kind of helpless. And that if we weren't there at the time, there would have been nobody to help out. So the model that we have as far as, you know, the SBA loans that we provide, they are required to visit with every single borrower. So we shake their hand, we go to their place of business, or, you know, the empty lot that they're going to build. Right. It's a lot of ground up construction deals, which are very complicated and can be strenuous. I mean, we have a in-house construction team, so we make sure that everything, every dot and, you know, is dotted and every T is crossed. I mean, we do our utmost best to make sure that the borrower's comfortable, that the process is streamlined, and that we are taking a loan that is not ideal. I mean, it's like, because it's a government backed loan, there's a lot of paperwork and there's fees, but at the same time, we are taking this, we've built technology around the application process that makes every step of the way, you can see every single place that you are, you know, when your money's coming, you know, who you talk to, you have your person that you talk to, you have your relationship manager. It's really a more transparent process, and it's because it's streamlined and using the technology that we have, it's much quicker than anybody else can do it. So,
and now I want to get into how you choose who you're going to work with as well, but how, you've broken into other areas as well. It's not just the veterinarian industry anymore.
No. Yeah. So we have, entered into about 15 verticals. We call them 15 industries. We've also launched, we've always had a deposits leg to the bank. We always provided CDs and money market accounts. Right. But that side of the business is growing as well. So that's, you know, always interesting to have to market, you know, a totally different consumer audience when you're marketing to small businesses across the nation.
Right.
But it's always us finding a industry that has a lack and a gap in financing because we can't compete when it comes to these businesses that have financing readily available from every and any bank, their local bank or Bank of America.
And give us an idea about how big you are now. And also, when did you start?
I started it was November 12th, I believe, of 2011.
Yeah.
I was employee 90 and we're close to 500 employees now. So we're growing, but
in Wilmington?
Not all in Wilmington. There's maybe like 40 folks that are remote.
Right.
We have, you know, an office in Santa Rosa and an office in Atlanta. But we've been growing rapidly. I mean, you know, a couple of 300, 400 people
in
that many years is a pretty decent ramp up, but it's warranted because we make sure that we have enough people to tackle a new industry. Yeah. And with, you know, new industries comes, you know, you need underwriters, yeah, closers, you know, you need more marketing people, you need, you know, so we've, and even the marketing team started with just three of us, two, yeah, or three of us. And now we are at 25.
And what is this I hear about, and hello to your marketing team.
Yeah. Hey guys.
And what is this I hear about you're being on par or overtaking Bank of America?
No, it wasn't Bank of America. We're the second largest SBA lender, next to Wells Fargo.
Next to Wells Fargo. Yeah. Okay.
So Wells is right there above us.
Me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the SBA.
But that's like insane.
I mean, yeah, it's really
Wells Fargo
interesting.
Was like created in what, 1800 something, yeah, you know? Like,
yeah. Well, you look at us. I mean, we're like a small bank in Bloomington.
Wells Fargo was created in like 1800s. I think that's legit, right? And you guys were created in like 2001.
Yeah, 2008. But it's only for the SBA. It's only for the SBA loan program. Yeah. But the funny thing is, I mean, we don't see ourselves. I mean, we are really like mammoth to ourselves. Yeah. We sit here and we're like, we feel like a New York City company, yeah, sitting in Wilmington, you know?
Yeah.
It's very, it's always like fast. Yeah. But we do so many amazing things every single day here. It's like, it's really blows my mind. But the whole point is to make sure that we can be the best in, you know, finance and technology for these small business owners.
100%. And what I want to get into, and of course I want to get into your background since it is the Women in Tech show, mm-hmm, but like, first, what I found so endearing, especially because I'm really passionate about customer experience, mm-hmm, is you don't just take on anyone.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's very niche, and what that makes our lives a little bit easier, especially on the marketing side, yeah, of things. And within the bank, you have dedicated teams. You have a dedicated expert that has, right, been in the industry for a very long time. They not only help us in the market, but they help our borrowers.
Right.
So when they have questions, we field questions all day, every day. Once you are a borrower of Live Oak Bank, you get a dedicated relationship manager. That person meets with you once a year. I mean, they are on the phone with you if you have any questions, but literally about anything. If you have, yeah, questions about marketing, they'll, yeah, pull one of us in, you know?
But you'll invest money to even like go out there. And if you find that someone's not the right fit, you'll be like, it's not just,
yeah,
and it's a loss leader. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there are people, it's so each bank obviously has their credit box. They have their criteria. And if you don't meet the criteria, you're out. For us, if you don't meet the criteria and you have a story to tell, and we are always willing to listen.
Yeah.
You know, I like to use like this little, you know, line that was said to me a couple of years ago, yeah, but other big corporate banks will, you know, give you an umbrella when it's sunny out and everybody's happy. It's like, here's $2 million.
Yeah.
And then when it's rainy, they take the umbrella away.
Yeah.
And we are the polar opposite of that, yeah, because it doesn't help us if you fail in,
yeah,
any way.
Yeah.
So to give you money that you can't pay us back.
Yeah.
That doesn't help.
Yeah.
It doesn't help us if we give you the money, if 5 years down the road, you get divorced, something happens,
yeah,
and your business is failing. We always come in. We have a dedicated team for those scenarios specifically, yeah, that help you if it's, you know, hiring a consultant, if, mm-hmm, it's, you know, making sure or giving you advice on, you know, what really is next? Is it that you, right, need money or you don't need any more money? Or, you know, it really is dependent upon everybody's unique situation, but life happens. And we have made a point to save borrowers from not only themselves,
yeah,
but from bad situations, totally, that happen. I mean, natural disasters, anything could really, totally, come through. So that's where the personal touch begins when they reach out to us on that first day. And on the funding day, when they get their money, we're like, right, their best friends. And then they rely on us for years and years and, yeah, years to come. So it's fun building relationships with these small business owners all over the country.
And this is really a tech company that's a bank, and you call, mm-hmm, yourselves the branchless bank. What, yeah, does that mean?
So we have a team of about 40 developers. They have built the technology that we're using currently for our customer portal. They also help us with our, you know, Salesforce environment. So our, you know, CRM system is customized by them. And they really, I mean, the amount of work that they do in a week's time, in a month's time,
yeah,
is, you will never see it in any other tech company. It's unreal. I mean, we really are, we think, you know, we're like, we, you know, build this and then launch this. And they're like, yeah, you know, I mean, 2 weeks. And we're,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
really? Nowhere else will do that. You know, you have to go through so many rounds of meetings and so many rounds of approvals, but we're on the ground floor.
Yeah,
we don't outsource anything. Everything's in-house.
You were saying that things can change every hour here and you just like, you're ready.
And and that's what keeps me on my toes. I mean, and everybody, I mean, that's what we are always so excited about because every day is a new day and, you know, things can shift, but the change and the challenge is what keeps us going. And there's just, we know there's always something waiting around the corner and we really kind of can't wait for that to happen.
Let's dive into your tech story. When did you first become passionate about technology?
I think I've always been just naturally tech savvy. I mean, I remember being in like second grade teaching my teacher how to use the computer that they had plopped in her classroom where she was like, what is this box here? I have no idea. And I'm like, oh, I know. And you know, my aunt would break her computer and then like get a new one. And I remember sitting there like fixing this computer constantly just to get it to work so I can play some, you know, it was like some like weird bunny game, you know, like just, but I've always been able to like adapt to the technology really easy. And I've always been a innovator. I'm not a laggard. Like when the iPhone came out, I was like with my waitress money in hand, like ready to pay $600 for this smartphone that nobody even knew how to use.
Yeah.
But when I graduated from college, I knew that I wanted to be in marketing because there are also so many, like an array of things that you can do you know, with a business degree and a concentration in marketing. But I wanted to work for an agency, one that I knew was really cool, had a great reputation, had some awesome previous clients, and then learn from the ground floor because I knew nothing. I mean, in the digital age, things are changing like day by day, week by week. You couldn't go to school to learn the things that we know here because they change so often and you have to be hands on.
Right.
So once I, you know, I spent a couple years at this agency and I went from knowing nothing to like conquering a lot of the tasks that I wanted to accomplish. And that's what put me in such an amazing position to be here. Because once I got here, I was like, oh, you need this, you need this, you need this, you know? So the passion is kind of just like always, I was building on it. It's something that I know that I'm really good at, but at the same time, you know, I you can be really creative, but also analytical. And that's that piece to it, the digital marketing piece, that type of personality can get you a really long way because that's really all it takes.
What does, I mean, in this world of social media or whatever, and then, and you know, what does the term digital marketing mean to you? Because you're in tech.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously you wouldn't, would you call yourself a social media expert or something like that?
I wouldn't consider myself a social media expert. I mean, there were times where that was my title.
Yeah.
And you know, if, you know, I have a girl on my team, Melissa Kane does all of our social media marketing. I would consider her a social media expert. Yeah. Absolutely.
What is a digital marketer?
But digital marketing to me is, you know, think about this day and age, how much time people are spending on their devices, on their phone, in their car, on their desktop. You need to get in front of people when they're looking for the products and services that you provide or the entertainment or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not doing it by walking into the store as much anymore. They're doing it on, you know, just in time on their phone whenever they want it.
Yeah.
So for us, it's marketing to people, giving them the unique experience, but the right experience. We come from a place where Google was, you know, didn't really know what was going on. They had people advertising for things that they really weren't,
Right.
And then, you know, people were spending ad dollars and trying to tricking people to visit their website. And now it's like, no, I'm looking for this black shoe, this black Nike shoe. I want the black Nike shoe.
Yeah.
You're not going to give me a blue shoe and expect me to buy it.
Right.
So we are now changing the consumer and the small business experience of these people, you know, browsing the web. And it's important to be able to control that experience and make sure that you're constantly optimizing and paying attention to data, making decisions off of data.
Right.
Because back in the day, we didn't have the opportunities that we have now. And not only, I mean, think about traditional marketing. You were spending money not knowing how it was working whatsoever.
Right.
If someone walks in the store, you assume it was because of your newspaper ad and that was it.
Right.
Here, it's every penny I spend in marketing is tracked. So I know what works, what doesn't, what to change. In a moment's notice, I can change it. In a moment's notice, I can pause it.
Yeah.
So that's where it's just kind of evolves into this like extreme customer experience at the most optimal level. And that will always be changing.
Yeah. How would you say you utilize tech on a daily basis in your role?
Oh boy. We rely heavily, heavily on tech. I mean, from our CRM system with our,
but just me.
Yeah. So the CRM systems, we, you know, we have to keep track of our prospects and our customers and our referral sources. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a couple of tools that allow us, you know, obviously the analytical tools are extremely important.
Right.
Constantly checking those. Now, you know, we're onboarding more of the A/B testing, customer experience, or dynamic experience level softwares, which are
right.
huge.
So A/B testing, you guys, is when you're comparing one thing to another thing and seeing which one performs better.
Yeah, because you don't want to sit there and say, I like the color blue, so I'm going to make this thing blue. Yeah, or I like that girl with the blonde hair, not the girl with the brown hair, or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
I like a landscape photo and not a person in an office. You don't really know how people are going to react. And also for us, we have unique groups of people visiting unique landing pages.
Right.
Then we also have wider groups of like consumer based people coming to these sites. And we don't want, you know, that you don't realize how much a change in a button or a call to action really does affect the experience and the way they act on the site. So that's what we're testing. And we're trying to give, you know, the best experience to the people we know are our quality visitors.
I mean, I'm sure so many people listening right now, like, would love to have a job like yours one day. So what would be the first steps in becoming a digital marketer working within a tech company?
I think, honestly, I've always been in favor of this. I think it's great to work in an agency because you get to not only get the hands-on training with all the tools that people use, but you also get to work on clients from all walks of life.
Right.
I mean, you could be working on a surfboard company one day and a chicken farm business.
No, I tell so many people that like, if you could look at an internships as a way, like a buffet for a career, like instead of saying, you know, I need to get paid X amount right away, like utilize I don't think enough people utilize internships.
For me, I was willing to take on anything. Like when I graduated, I would take any job as long as I knew I was going to learn something from that job and be able to put on my resume. I was not above anything.
Right.
But one of the things that I was not willing to do was join a rat race in a big city where everybody's trying to get that job. And I'm not going to learn anything because I'm getting people's coffee and I'm filing and I'm doing all these things.
Yeah.
So if you can find something where these people are invested in you, you know, sometimes interns are like, they just want to give free work or if it's cheap work or whatever.
Yeah.
It depends on the company.
100%.
But I really do think that if you could get, if you know that these people that, you know, and go on as many interviews as you need to, because practice makes perfect.
Totally.
But, these digital agencies and the people that you can see, like based off of certain clients and the work that they do, you can tell by the websites they build.
Yeah.
It's important to get exposure in a place like that, because even if you're not making any money, I mean, I started off like with nothing. Yeah. I was working two jobs for a long time, but it didn't matter because the skills that I learned, it's kind of like a trade where not many people know how to do it. And then there's not that many people that know how to do it really well.
Yeah.
We've, you know, been able, and thank goodness for the people that have hired me back in the day, because now I can say that the foundation that I've built is solid.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. No, I think that, something to look for, I talk about this a lot, is look for a mentorship culture within a company. And if a company has a mentorship culture, it's highly likely they'll look at every last person within the company and how can I train them or support them or mentor them in where they want to go.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. The programs that we have here, I mean, the people that we've hired, we always know where their options are to grow. And if you have an interest in literally anything, you could move from the marketing team to a finance team or whatever it is that you feel that you have an interest in, you have the freedom to do so. But I wanted to be a mentor for the people that I manage. And I have two girls on my team that I want to make sure I'm always heavily invested in and making sure that they have something that they own that they're responsible for so that they can have the same feeling that I had.
Totally. Wait, is Live Oak accepting interns?
We do accept interns, yes.
Where should someone go if they're listening right now and they're like, yes to Wilmington and yes to an internship there?
Oh, absolutely. So you can go to the careers page at liveoakbank.com. You can fill out a form. You know, we always file everybody's, you know, contact forms that let us know that they're interested. Send in your resume. There's, we have a, you know, like a form and, you know, all the postings too. We have some job postings up there because we're always looking. I mean, we're constantly looking, you know, there's summer programs, fall programs.
Totally. Where can, before we wrap up the conversation, people who want to kind of continue cyber stalking you, where can they find you on the social space? And you personally, like, do you have a Twitter or?
Yes. Yeah. I have a Twitter. I actually am not very active on it, which is embarrassing, but, my Twitter's, Chrissy Ann at Chrissy Ann J, K-R-I-S-I-A-N-N-J. And then on LinkedIn, you can look me up.
Can you spell your name for everybody?
Yes, yeah. It's KRISIANN Jackson, JACKSON.
Perfect. And okay, so kind of, I'm really excited to ask you this. What's one thing that you think, a kind of mindset you've had over the years that have led you to live your dream life?
Oh boy. I don't know. I guess I would say that always seeking the challenge, always pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. I do this to people and they kind of hate me for it at the time, but then they thank me later. If you don't feel comfortable with a certain software, if you don't feel comfortable talking to people, if you don't feel comfortable presenting to people, now it's your time to do it. Yeah. Because that is what's gotten me exposure. You know, don't feel afraid to talk to your executives, or don't be scared to talk to your boss, or, totally. You know, it's like, it's being a part of the conversation, speaking up, honestly, questioning authority sometimes. Yeah. I mean, it's just having the confidence in yourself, because as we become experts in the things that we're responsible for,
yeah,
it's our responsibility to push the envelope. And you're only going to be able to do that if you, you know, really walk with the confidence that you should have.
Totally.
I know it's hard to say, but it's pushing yourself to do things that you would not, that don't want to do. Yes. You don't feel comfortable doing.
Totally. Step outside your comfort zone. We just got to interview someone here in Wilmington named Colby, this awesome like woman in tech who was petrified of being on a podcast, like sweating, freaking out. Like, she's like, I can't handle it. I'm like, exactly for that reason.
Yeah.
You must be on the show. And she was on the show and she did great, but the whole time, like, terrified.
Yeah. Now you're like, now you're going to do it again.
And this is your first podcast. Yeah. Are you terrified? It's a totally different thing. But stepping outside your comfort zone to try something. I gave a talk this week and I say, you know, as confident as I may seem sometimes, every time I go to someone's talk, I push myself to ask a question. And the reason why I do that is because I am so nervous. I'm the one with sweaty palms getting up to that mic to ask the speaker a question. And I do it because I'm like, just push myself. Like, just do it. Even though I'm nervous, even though I'm afraid I'm going to sound stupid, even though like I'm afraid of everything.
Yeah. No,
just do it.
If every day feels the same, or if you get too comfortable in something, there's something wrong there.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be constantly challenging yourself, because if you think about it, there are people that are dying for your position. There are people dying for the role that you may fill.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to set yourself apart and be, you know, very true to yourself and let those things shine, because, you know, there's so many people that we see in here, we interview, and we know they're selling themselves. And
totally.
You're like, no, but really though, who are you?
Yes.
I want to know.
Yes.
Because that's what matters. Yes. If we don't get to know you, we're not going to be able to hire you, because we want to make sure that you fit here and that you'll be happy here, you know?
100%.
It's a stigma, I guess.
Totally. Thank you so much for
being
here.
Oh, no, thanks for having me.
Podcast. It's so cool. I'm just really, really grateful to come in touch with a company like Live Oak. This is just like really exciting, and I'm happy that you were able to show me just the magic that happens here. Sounds like, what company has a dog park? What company has a dog park? It's amazing.
You should come back in a year. I'm sure we'll have lots more to talk about.
Now you need a cat park.
Yeah. Oh God.
A little kitty jungle.
Yeah. I'll send that note up the line and see what happens.
If you guys want to connect with more extraordinary women in tech, remember to go to the Women in Tech Facebook group at womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. It takes you straight to the Facebook group, so you don't have to go through all the million Facebook groups and figure out which one is which. And I will talk to you guys, see you guys in the next episode. Tweet at Women in Tech Show. Bye.
Thank you.
Betalist, one of my favorite companies to gain exposure to your startup before you're even live. Go to betalist.com/womenintech and get featured. Yes, get your startup featured while still in beta, and make sure people know that you're about to go live, so when you open the floodgates for business, you'll be ready with pre-existing customers and signups. That's betalist.com/womenintech. The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.